it's very clear what the Trump administration wants from China, which is a lower trade deficit.
China seeks clarifications on U.S. trade policies. It's Thursday, March 1st. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the U.S. Special Envoy to North Korea retires. Nobel laureates condemn Rohingya crisis. Ariana Grande's musical absence. It's all on today's VOA Asia. China's top economic advisor to President Xi Jinping is in Washington this week for talks with U.S. officials amid rising trade tensions. Liu He is meeting with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, and President Donald Trump's economic advisor Gary Cohn. Friday, Mr. Trump said he didn't think the United States has ever had a better relationship with China than it has right now. He said the only thing that can get in the way is trade, describing it as one-sided. Tuesday, the Commerce Department recommended raising import duties on Chinese imports of aluminum foil it said are being sold at unfairly low prices. Patrick Chovanec, chief strategist at New York-based Silvercrest Asset Management, tells VOA the future of trade ties may be linked to the rising fortunes of one White House official, who he says may or may not be passing along good advice.
On the U.S. side, the elevation of Peter Navarro, who is an uber hawk, not just on trade, but also on China specifically, to a position very close to the president in the White House, has raised some speculation that maybe the Trump administration is poised to take a much harder line on trade with China. Up until now, the Trump administration has actually been surprisingly soft on China, given the rhetoric during the campaign. And that's been because they've been eager to have China's cooperation on North Korea, and maybe also because they've been preoccupied with other trade issues like NAFTA. But Navarro becoming special assistant to the president, people think maybe that means that there's going to be more trade friction with China ahead. He is an economist, but mostly he's known for writing a book, which he turned into a movie called Death by China, which basically says that China is an economic enemy of the United States. And so you can see how that might lead to a little bit of friction. I think that when you talk to most people who know China well, they don't hold Navarro or his book in very high regard. I think there's plenty to criticize in China's behavior, but I think that Navarro has approached it with a kind of one-dimensional point of view, and I think there are a lot of people who are concerned about the advice that he might be giving President Trump.
Amid the talk of a variety of trade actions by the Trump administration, Chovanec says the Chinese have not seen anything too much out of the ordinary from Trump so far.
It's very clear what the Trump administration wants from China, which is a lower trade deficit. But substantively, what it wants from China, the structural changes to its economy that will allow China to achieve that, that's much less clear. And what we've seen so far from the Trump administration has actually been some fairly conventional moves. The kind of tariffs that we've seen are things that the Obama administration did, the Bush administration did before them. And so really the question is, are they going to do something that represents a more serious break from that?
Patrick Chovanec said the talks in Washington coincide with a move to change the Chinese constitution to allow President Xi Jinping to remain in office indefinitely. He said there is a view that such a move would allow Mr. Xi to concentrate on implementing much talked about but potentially costly and risky reforms in the economy. These are among some of the top Asia stories currently trending on voanews.com. United Nations says North Korea shipped banned items to Syria and Myanmar. Ghani offers unconditional talks, legitimacy to Afghan Taliban. Dengue fever vaccine causing panic, political strife in Philippines. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, also on our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The special U.S. envoy to North Korea announced he is retiring. Joseph Yun has been an advocate of engagement with Pyongyang. His imminent departure leaves a gap in U.S. diplomatic efforts aimed at a denuclearized Korean peninsula. But U.S. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert says there will be no change in policy.
If somebody chooses to retire, that does not change our policy. This is not a change in our policy or our intent in pushing forward with that policy in any way.
The 63-year-old Yun told CBS News the decision was his. He said after 32 years in the Foreign Service, the time was right. The Trump administration also has yet to nominate an ambassador to South Korea. Stephen Norper, senior director at the New York-based Korea Society, was asked by VOA's Victor Beatty whether the Yun departure is a problem for the administration at a time when Pyongyang is signaling its wish to talk with the United States.
Well, it is in terms of the representation of a pro-engagement voice. The international community will look at it and perhaps perceive the United States as pursuing a harder line because it doesn't have that alternative.
Frank Januzzi, an East Asia expert at the Mansfield Foundation, tweeted, "This is exceptionally bad news. Joe Yun is the only senior official left at the State Department who has experience in dealing with the complexities of North Korea policy."
Well, that's right, and Frank Januzzi is absolutely correct in that regard. He was the senior most voice dealing specifically with the North Korea issue, and he represented a path that really was for engagement that allowed the United States and North Korea hopefully to sit down without preconditions. And that became the stumbling block, and one would suppose is the rationale for Ambassador Yun's departure.
And that comes after President Trump indicated on Monday that the U.S. is willing to talk to the North, but only if the conditions are right. What might that mean?
Well, it means that the U.S. is insisting on abandonment of the nuclear front from the onset, meaning denuclearization as a precondition for talks. Ambassador Yun and others have advocated that that is a good long-term goal. That's the end point, denuclearization on the Korean Peninsula. But Ambassador Yun and at one point Secretary Tillerson suggested that there be no preconditions, that getting to the table was all critical, especially given the high state of tension around the Korean Peninsula.
Stephen Norper views North Korean General Kim Jong-chol's statement of interest in talks with the U.S. as potentially significant. Kim expressed his view twice in talks with South Korean officials at the close of the Winter Olympic Games. Norper said talks could be an avenue to a moratorium on the North's nuclear program, despite previous statements their program is non-negotiable. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Three Nobel Peace laureates Wednesday accused Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi and the nation's military of genocide for their role in violence that has forced hundreds of thousands of Rohingya Muslims to flee to Bangladesh. VOA Asia's Ira Melman has more.
The laureates, who are on a week-long trip to Bangladesh to visit the sprawling refugee camps where the Rohingya are living, said at a news conference in Dhaka that their fellow Nobel Peace laureate, Aung San Suu Kyi, cannot avoid responsibility for the situation. One of the laureates, Yemen's Tawakkul Karman, urged Suu Kyi to wake up or face prosecution.
He's now the chancellor of the Myanmar government, and she's silent. She didn't tell the truth to the world. Should stop her silence. She should wake up and stop this genocide.
Carmen's two colleagues, Northern Ireland's Mairead Maguire and Iran's Shirin Ebadi, promised to work to bring those responsible to justice. All of them were emotionally charged as they unanimously called the violence against the Rohingya genocide. The laureates also met Bangladeshi Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina and promised to work toward solving the crisis. Some 700,000 Rohingya have fled to Bangladesh since late August after a crackdown by Myanmar's military. In November, Myanmar and Bangladesh signed an agreement to gradually repatriate Rohingya in safety, security, and dignity, but that process has been delayed. The Buddhist-majority Myanmar does not recognize the Rohingya as an official ethnic group, and they face intense discrimination and persecution. Myanmar authorities maintain that security operations and Rakhine State have been aimed at clearing out insurgents. Bangladesh, for its part, says it will not repatriate any Rohingya against their will, but has urged the international community to continue to pressure Myanmar to create conditions for a sustainable repatriation. Ira Melman, VOA Asia.
You're listening to VOA Asia. Happening now in Asia, the Takata airbag scandal is impacting motorists in Australia. The government has ordered the recall of more than 2 million vehicles fitted with faulty equipment, marking the largest product recall of its kind in the country. The manufacturing flaw has been linked to at least 18 deaths, 180 injuries globally. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Pop star Ariana Grande was all set to attend a benefit concert in the UK and then mysteriously was a no-show. VOA Top 20 Countdown host Ray McDonald stops by to tell us what happened.
Going to be a significant part of the Brit Awards ceremony that happened on February 21st in London. Now, the Brit Awards are Britain's biggest mainstream pop awards, and one of the highlights of the evening was to be Ariana Grande paying tribute to the victims of a May suicide bombing in Manchester. An attacker claimed 22 lives and injured 120 at the Manchester Arena following a performance by Ariana back in May. 1 month later, Ariana Grande returned to Manchester and hosted a massive charity concert which benefited victims and their families. Well, this week, one day before the Brit Awards, Ariana's people contacted the Brit Award producers and said she wouldn't be able to come. So this sent everybody scrambling. Liam Gallagher, a Manchester native and the former member of Oasis, stepped in to take Ariana's place. On Thursday, we learned that Ariana Grande pulled out on doctor's orders. She has an undisclosed illness that left her not only too sick to perform, but even too sick to fly. She really wanted to go over there. That's what her people say. But they said, no, no way. You got to stay in bed. Now, Ariana did tune in the show from home. She shared video footage of Liam's performance on her Instagram feed. So it was totally legit.
She at least was a virtual participant.
She was a virtual participant. And that's not all Ariana is sharing on Instagram. She has been teasing new music for the past several months. She's working on her fourth album. It's the follow-up to Dangerous Woman from 2016. And for the first time, she's working with Pharrell Williams. Mm. And this makes me happy because I'm a big fan of Pharrell's music. Not only is his own stuff great, he seems to bring out the best in other artists as well. So I'm really looking forward to Ariana Grande's fourth album. And by all accounts, we should be getting it later this year.
We wish Ariana all the best and a quick recovery. And also, you know, putting out an album is tiring work. I mean, there's a lot of effort involved in that.
It is. It is. I mean, sometimes we think that these celebrities lead lives of leisure. But in fact, it does take a lot of work. Putting an album together is a lot of work.
To us, these things just pop out there. They drop. And one thing that drops each and every week is the Top 20 Countdown. Ray McDonald is your host, and believe me, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes into it. You'll want to check it out each and every week on VOA 1, as well as his Twitter feed.
Always come for my Twitter feed. I'm always putting up interesting stuff just for you. It's Ray on the Hits.
Thanks so much, Ray.
You got it, Jim.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on iTunes and SoundCloud and streaming each and every day on VOA Asia Facebook and voanews.com. We also like to hear from you. Write to us on Facebook at VOA Asia or send us an email, voaasia@voanews.com. Thanks to everyone in Taipei, Taiwan, who's been listening on CCU Radio at National Chung Cheng University in Taipei. Our thanks to go to director Tracy Carter, engineer Dan Crafton, managing editor Diane Gao, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, and David Byrd on our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a great day.